Good morning, everybody, and welcome to day three of Tech Days Online. My name's Martin Kern. I'm joined by my buddy Wes Hackett. Say hi, Wes.
Hi. Hello. My name's Wes Hackett. I'm a SharePoint Server MVP and the CTO at Adin365, an Office 365 productivity company. So Martin and I are going to sort of run through this session.
We've got a load of stuff to talk about. Yeah, we've got a really packed day today. So the theme of today is a day in the office. So we're going to be talking about, well, Wes and I are going to talk a lot about Office and SharePoint this morning. Yeah. And then we're going to look at some of the some web dev technologies, some Xamarin stuff, and just an interesting session called Web Development is Fun later on today. So I think there's robots involved in that one, so it should be quite fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've got a lot packed in. So we'll start with me and Wes are just going to talk about Office just in general, aren't we? So
yep.
A high level view of what's new in the Office world, really. Then Wes is going to dive into Office add-ins in a bit more detail. So really go under the cover about what's going on in add-ins, what's new, some of the stuff you might not have heard about. And then we've got Alan Richards coming in who's going to talk about migration. So how do you take How do you go from an on-premise SharePoint farm to Office 365 in the context of schools and education as well? So that's going to be quite interesting. Then we'll break for lunch. And then we're back again, Wes. We're going to talk about the SharePoint framework.
Yep.
So that's going to be interesting as well. And then we've got a pre-recorded session for myself and my buddy Martin Beebe, who has very selfishly gone on holiday to Spain for the week. We're going to talk about some web technologies and web development. And then we're going to talk about Gary Whittaker's going to come in from Xamarin, where we're going to talk about using Xamarin with Azure. And then finally, we're going to finish the day with Rob Miles, who's going to talk about fun web development with robots. So that sounds like a pretty cool day, doesn't it?
Yeah, it should be pretty exciting. You're going to see, hopefully, a lot of new things today that have only just come out of the Redmond team. So
there we go. Sounds good.
Yep.
So why don't we get started, Wes? So firstly, just tell me a little bit about yourself. What's your background? What do you do on a day-to-day basis?
So I'm the CTO at Adin365, and we're a productivity company that build apps and add-ins for Office 365. We do sort of collaboration stuff, and I've been a Office Server and Services MVP for a number of years now. Cool. Been doing SharePoint since 2003. So
2003.
Yeah,
I can beat you on that one.
Yeah, only a little bit.
Yeah, only by a little bit. Yeah, I was in the 90s. I was doing SharePoint. Believe it or not,
wow.
Tahoe, the very first release candidate of the first version.
Server under the desk version.
Exactly.
As a lot of the guys call it.
Need a portable data center to run those things. Okay, cool. So you're going to talk about what's new in Office and Office 365 then.
Yep.
So the overall landscape of what's going on in Office. So take us through it then.
Okay, so today we're talking about a day in the office, and that could mean your office. It could mean the office where you're working with your customer.
Yep.
It could mean your office for your actual organization you work for. And really, most people start the day in kind of Outlook. They might come in, look at their emails, send a few emails out, check their meeting calendars. Then they might go to their team site and work on files, you know, working on the PowerPoint presentation for the customer and something like that. And they'll be doing that within Office and Office 365. But really, Office and Office 365 is so much broader. It's got loads of capabilities that very few people kind of dive into every day. So this morning, we want to sort of step you through some of the more exciting and new services in Office 365.
So it's more than just Clippy is what we're saying here.
Yeah, it's more than just Clippy. Yeah,
Clippy. Excellent. It's not even Clippy these days. Clippy's gone, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's Clippy. Clippy's
a sad
been
moment that is in Microsoft history. There we go. Anyway, carry on.
So how do you keep on top of what's in Office 365? Yeah. So once you're in the cloud, Office 365 moves at such a great pace of change and innovation. And Microsoft publish all of those updates in their roadmap on Fast Track. So you can keep on top of upcoming changes, the things they've delivered to your service, and stuff that they're thinking about developing through that URL there.
It's great because people are always asking for roadmap, especially around Office. It's kind of because there's such a lot of new stuff coming in all the time across Office and SharePoint and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
It's great that we've actually got a place you can go to now with the roadmap.
Yeah.
Cool.
So first sort of port of call, if you like, is the Office video portal.
Right.
So there's actually two types of video portal within Office 365 and Office Consumer. So we're going to take a look in at the actual video portal now.
Straight into demos, look at that.
We're into
demos immediately, I love it.
So with Office 365, you get a ready-made video portal. So this is like YouTube for the enterprise.
Right, I was going to say, it sounds like YouTube for the enterprise.
Yeah.
Basically, that's the idea of a video portal. Okay.
Yeah, a few years ago, you'd have had to build the infrastructure. You'd have to work out how to stream the videos, you know, display the user experience that the employees could sort of step across to get to those videos. Microsoft have done a great job of delivering Office 365 video portal. Okay. They're backed by Azure Media Services, so it's doing all the clever things about the streaming to the device, making sure you get a good experience no matter whether you're using a phone or you're on your desktop experience. Yeah. So what I want to do is just sort of take a whistle-stop tour through the video portal, and then we're going to have a look at the kind of next incarnation, if you like.
So I guess the idea behind this is users are, well, people in general are becoming more used to consuming content via video, aren't they? So like the idea of the Vimeo, YouTube, although even video on Facebook, that kind of stuff, it's becoming the way that people share social media, and I guess enterprises need to catch up to that, really.
Yeah, they do. And The video portal is structured in a really simple to navigate way. It has a portal, as you can see on the screen. And then within there, we have a collection of channels. So I've got some example content here. So we've got an executive channel, which allows somebody to sort of own that channel of video. Yep. So if you think about the exec channel in a real organization, this is often the all hands meetings that happen once a quarter. Yeah. And it really helps field the kind of questions and engagement that the senior leadership in an organization want to kind of portray.
Okay.
So we've got really cool features. So it's using the Office Graph, the kind of intelligence between, you know, if you and I were looking at the same video, it would improve the trending of that video.
Okay.
So we have trending, we can look at a list of all videos. And if we dive into a particular video, I'll stop it playing once it loads.
So the idea here is this is basically a way that it's kind of like a YouTube channel, basically, but inside the context of an organization.
Yeah. So the video is really easy to upload. You basically click the upload button. If you're a channel contributor, you can upload the video off your device, off your desktop or your mobile phone if you log into it via mobile phone. And it will go away behind the scenes and utilize that sort of inbuilt media services to convert it, to compress it, to create all those different versions behind the scenes. And you as a kind of editor don't need to worry about that. Right, it's all taken care of for you.
So I could literally just take out my iPhone or whatever I've got, do a video, upload it, and it's just all taken care of for
me. Yeah, absolutely. And that's proving to be really valuable for internal communications teams. You know, it's no longer sort of big film crews. You can stand there with an iPhone and just film the person
or
talking.
Or a Windows phone. They do still exist.
So alongside the kind of video, you've got some really neat features now. So we've got commentary in the Yammer conversations. So this little flyout will come across with the Yammer conversations. And we can also find people to add to who's in the video, right? So you can create this little card experience here, people that are related to the video. And then driven off the interactions in the Office Graph, we've got recommendations. So it's kind of building a recommendations engine behind the scenes. But the bit I really love, and why I think it's really cool for organizations, is there's this viewer engagement piece here. Which
you are proving how much of a geek you are by saying that's the bit you really love. You know, statistics and graphs.
But it's about engagement, right? Yeah. So if you're the comms leader that's looking at getting your quarterly meeting by the CEO and the senior leadership out to the organisation, getting that message across, this viewer engagement here will actually show you how many people get through the video and where the drop-off points are. Right. So if there's an important message towards the end. You can pick up, you can then kick off a new strategy, you might need to email, talk about it a bit more in Yammer.
Yeah.
You know, there could be a really important piece in the last 10 minutes.
And it's something we have this quite a lot with videos on Channel 9 as well, where people don't necessarily watch the whole video, and there is a trend around when they tend to drop off. So it's important to know, because you have got important messages, you need to make sure you land them generally in the first half of the video.
Absolutely.
Good, okay.
So that's the kind of current state in Office 365. This is kind of enterprise ready, and what I would recommend today that an enterprise uses within 365 for video. But Microsoft have just put into preview a brand new a brand new service called Stream.
Okay.
And Stream's going to be really exciting because it's now sort of allowing you to also have it on the consumer side. So as an individual, in your private space, if you like, you've got OneDrive, you've got Office for Home. Stream's going to allow you to start utilizing the video and be able, you can think of this videos of the kids at the weekend, shared with your parents, those kind of things. And also you can do that on enterprise. So it will log you into consumer and enterprise and give you different features. So this, as I say, is in preview, and it's worth looking at.
So it's the same kind of idea. It's basically around uploading videos and streaming them out, but it's for consumers rather than for the enterprise.
Yeah. There's going to be a transition. I think the team from Microsoft are fairly open about how that's going to transition and become part of the Office 365 video experience. But for now, enterprise is kind of the video for 365 and consumer and preview features for stream.
Cool. Okay. Good.
Okay, so that was video portals. Next up is Office Sway. And I have to be honest, this is one of my favorite parts of 365 to use, because it just creates such a visual storytelling. Yeah. It's really there to help share information in a really engaging way. It's very mobile friendly. Yeah. It really does help you to kind of share those things. And editing a Sway is something that you don't really need a huge amount of technical knowledge to be able to do. I mean,
in a nutshell, what is a Sway?
So a Sway is kind of, I guess if you were thinking about Office clients as they are today, yeah. Sway is really similar to PowerPoint. It's the kind of same type of use cases where you might have created a deck in PowerPoint. You might think about using a Sway. So if you had a presentation about your team's direction for the month, you might create the Sway instead of a PowerPoint deck.
So it's kind of a more interactive thing.
Yeah,
really,
more interactive. It's got all the rich media, so you can embed videos, you can have images. It's a lot more animated, and it does the kind of responsiveness for you to devices. So where a PowerPoint would basically contract onto a device, Sway's going to work it out and say, okay, no, I'm going to keep it more magazine feel. Yeah, I'm going to do those things.
I kind of liken it to, do you remember the days when we used to create, like if you're doing a family day out or something like that, you'd do a little DVD. It's kind of like the modern version of that.
It is.
So you can capture the weekend or whatever you've done in like a rich interactive way and share it with people. That's kind of how I think about it.
And we've seen real good uptake with customer organisations. Yeah, HR take a lot of advantage of Sway. They might have a really complex set of policies and procedures that they want to share with the business, and they'll use a Sway to kind of lead people into the pieces of information. Right. So there might be a Sway around the benefits of paternity and maternity for the organisation, which then reference the policy itself.
And of course, people can link from the Sway to the resources.
Yeah, any resources you can link back to the Office 365 video. Cool. So it's really kind of dovetailing all those things in.
Excellent. Okay.
And super easy to edit. I mean, we've just got an example one here. So if you go to Sway from your Office 365 application launcher, you get a number of examples, and basically it's got some really neat features. So if I just dive down to the bottom and click in here, if I click on the image, I can see what the image is going to look like.
Okay.
And this is a line of yellow cars, and I might say, okay, well, I that's the important part of the image. I can uncheck the entire image is important, and you can see the preview below has changed, and it's now,
so you can choose like an area of interest.
Yeah, but actually, I might say, well, actually, the middle car's the point of interest, and the first car's the point of interest.
Right.
And it's reacting to kind of those editing interactions.
So when you view this on different devices, when it's like on a phone or something, it's going to focus in on those areas.
Which can be really important if you're thinking about something like a technical diagram, where you're talking about, if it was an IT technical diagram, it might be you were talking about the SQL Server layer at the bottom, and you can highlight into that diagram and it will maintain the focus.
Yeah.
Whereas on a big screen, you get the full experience.
Cool.
So kind of really, really nice. And then, if you were to actually look at what it feels like to the end consumer.
So it's interesting there that you press the button's called play. So that's effectively the equivalent of start slideshow, but it's called play because it's kind of a more interactive view.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And you can see how pretty it is, really, and how quickly.
Nice little animation. Everyone loves a little animation.
Yeah, everyone loves a little animation. But if you think about how long this would take you in a PowerPoint deck, you'd have to be a bit of a PowerPoint guru to be able to get that sort of same experience. And I really like Sway. I think it really works for organisations that are looking for that engagement and storytelling across what can be quite dry documents and information. They can kind of storytell around it and lead in.
And like I said, I think it works as well on a personal basis as well. If you want to share, it's a great way to share like holiday photos, that kind of thing, or Christmas photos, whatever it might be. It's a really good way to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, that was That was Sway.
So how, just on Sway, how do you actually, so you did it through a web interface there. Are there any other options around editing the Sways themselves?
Yeah, I believe there's the Sway's got an edit experience in Windows 10. You can get an app to help you kind of interact with the Sway. So, you know, you do get that desktop experience. It works, you know, the editing works quite well on iPads as well. So again, that's...
I think there's an iPad app as well, actually, isn't there, where you can
I've not used it personally. Yeah. I don't have many Apple devices in my life, thankfully. So that's Sway.
Okay, cool.
Next up, we've got Delve.
Delve's always
kind of a tricky one to explain, because most enterprises, when you talk to them, they sort of sit there and go, "What I'd like my search experience is, I'd like one of the major search engine experiences, Bing or Google. I'd like my search results to feel like that."
Yeah,
and Delve is Office 365's response to a great search experience. Right. It's about helping you find content. It's about helping you find people, more importantly, and what they're doing and what they're working on, who they work with. And it's where the kind of Office 365 profile lives. So it tells you the information about you. So if I was looking up, you know, kind of your past projects or what you're publishing, I'd go to Delve to look that, that stuff
cool.
up. So this is Delve, and this is one of the modern Office 365 experiences. So it's very fast, it's very fluid, it works across devices. In fact, there are Delve apps that you can get on iPhone, Android, Windows Phone to kind of help you interact with this information as well. And they're really neat because they will prompt you. So if you and I were working on the same team and you'd created a PowerPoint deck, my Delve app might ping up if I've got my notifications enabled to say, "Oh, Martin's been creating this great thing that you haven't yet looked at."
Right.
And I go, "Oh, brilliant." Click in, look at it.
Yeah.
And I'd kind of see what was going on around me, which is, you know, really important in a team. So we've got the profile experience. We've got the modern blogging experience. So the modern blogging experience, you know, replaces that kind of SharePoint My Site blog that we used to have. Yeah. So this is, you know, easy publishing. It's big, it's bold, it's very simple to type. And then we have I'm looking at myself, so I can see my personal documents. And I can see here that, you know, I've got some different channels and things like that, and these are all sites. But if I switch it in and filter it, I might say, okay, I'm looking for stuff in Word.
Okay.
And it's going to go off and look for example content in Word. And again, this is really nice because it's quite visual.
Yeah.
It's allowing me to define the things that I've touched and modified. So, you know, how many times have you walked back into the office and gone, "Oh, it's been 2 days since I've been sat at my desk. What was I working on before I went on customer site?"
Yeah.
Great. Come back, go to Delve, look at your content.
Yeah.
Step into it that way.
I've had a really good experience with Delve where I've been working on a presentation about a certain topic.
Yeah.
And I've gone on to Delve and it's actually told me that one of my colleagues is working on almost the same presentation, and like we'd have been both just beavering away doing that the same thing basically.
Yeah.
So it just prompts us to collaborate and start working with each other, and you save time. You end up with a better presentation as well, actually.
Yeah. So, yeah. Because you pool those resources. Exactly. You work together and you both feel you kind of like you haven't wasted time.
Yeah.
I think, because there's nothing worse than kind of suddenly finding out you've duplicated effort.
Exactly, yeah. That's kind of like the killer of all productivity, isn't it? If you can remove duplication of effort, that's like the holy grail of productivity.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and also, Delve's got loads of little features. So, you know, again, we've got little ellipsis in the bottom right-hand corner. We can check our security, so who can see this? So again, Delve honors all of the security measures that you put in terms of permissions. So if you didn't have access to that document, you won't see it in Delve.
Sure. Yeah.
Whereas I will, because I can access that document. So it is just like SharePoint search in that respect. You know, it will help you find information you have access to, and it will restrict access where appropriate. But also,
so it's based on the actual SharePoint permissions.
Yeah,
so
it's based on the host service permissions, because it doesn't just show SharePoint content.
Oh, okay, right.
So if you were to go into your Yammer network and post a link, that link shows through.
I didn't realise that. So it's the whole of Office, basically.
Yeah, it's an Office centric, you know, Office 365 centric search. It looks across all of the different services.
Okay.
It's got a really neat feature, which is, you know, like if you get sent an attachment on your email.
Yeah.
For you, when you go to your Delve, and only your Delve,
yeah.
you'll see those attachments coming through in that Delve experience as well. So again, it helps you kind of look into the files that are in your inbox.
Yeah.
Just in the kind of little card.
That is cool.
Conversations are really neat because they are allowing people to kind of draw others into the document. So if I'd have looked at that FY 2013 plan and I wanted you to make comment on it, I could mention you in Yammer, ask you to look at the content. But then I may also say to another group, you know, mention them and say, well, this is going to be interesting for your preparations for your FY.
Yeah.
And those two threads of conversation are bound back to this single document. So all of that collaboration that you see going on around the document, between teams, between individuals, it's kind of homed back to the document. So it travels around with that document, which is really neat.
And it's great to see Yammer becoming more and more central to those kind of conversations. So it's kind of, it seems like Yammer's really getting plugged into the whole of Office now. And it seems like if you want to have one-to-one or one-to-group conversations, that seems to be the UI that is always exposed first.
So. Yeah, I think the Yammer's a great ready-to-go social network within the enterprise Office 365. It helps, as you say, have those conversations out loud, and the benefit, you know, your colleague working on the same document, you see it in Delve, you can talk about it in Yammer, other people might have seen that and contribute in some information.
Yeah.
And it really does sort of generate that collaborative feeling when you're not necessarily sat within arm's reach of each other.
Sure, yeah.
So those kind of features, we can also, there's a little favoriting experience where effectively it will go up into my favorites in Delve.
Okay.
And I mentioned that we can do search. So if I look for Contozo. Good old Contozo, yeah. Stick to the Contozo. And we've got Northwind in there as well for those that like SQL. So we can see here that it's gone across that Office 365 tenancy and it's performed a search for those terms. It's found documents, it's found this particular one, it's found a team site.
Yeah.
It's found a Delve blog as the second item. And again, that is doing all the kind of expected thing of hit highlights,
yeah.
prioritizing
modern it. Modern search experience.
Yeah, modern search experience. And it's really nice because that, like I say, is on your phone as well.
Yeah.
So you kind of get that discoverability from the mobile app.
And it'll display appropriately on your phone as well. It's responsive. It'll
look
like this on your phone. It'll look like a phone search.
Well, it's a dedicated phone app, so it's very tailored. I mean, the iPhone and the Android, they kind of follow the design languages of those devices.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get the same style of interactions, which is good because you want it to kind of blend in.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so, a bit too far. There we go, Delve.
Okay.
So that's Delve. SharePoint Online and OneDrive for Business.
Right.
Favourite part, if you like. SharePoint's cool again.
Is SharePoint cool? I never realised SharePoint stopped being cool, you see.
Well, I didn't personally. Yeah. I mean, I always thought it was pretty cool. Yeah. But yeah, the picture here is from Worldwide Partner Conference. This is Jeff Teeper. He's heads up the SharePoint and OneDrive team in Redmond.
Yeah.
And his teams have gone through this sort of big sea change, the release cadence that we're used to every 3 years. So that's kind of moving away, you know, it's every 3 or 4 weeks.
Which is something that's happening across the whole of Microsoft, actually. It's this idea of frequent small releases is something that we're doing across Edge, Windows, everything that we do, really.
Yeah.
It's becoming the way we do software releases.
And it's really cool because it allows customers to take advantage of all the kind of modern experiences and modern ways of working as soon as possible.
Yeah.
We're not waiting 3 years for that new thing to appear. We're getting those cool new things. So
just before you go on here, I've got to ask, what's the bus all about? There must be a story behind
it. Okay.
It seems too random.
So one of my MVP chums, Ben Nyland, he works for a company in Canada called ShareGate. They're kind of they do some governance tooling and some migration tooling around. Allowed me to use his picture.
Okay.
So they've got a great marketing kind of style. It fits in with the Microsoft kind of style quite well. And Ben's been involved with the team as well, you know, helping to promote SharePoint and the updates. So on May 4th this year, there was a Future of SharePoint event.
Okay.
And a number of the MVPs, so myself and probably about 10 or 15 others, were invited to the event, and we got to help evangelize, if you like. So kind of your day job, we got to help support. And the cool bus is something that they've, you know, they got on board and they said, okay, here's a great graphic, and Microsoft have adopted that as a kind of cool thing to do. So yeah, that's the story of the cool bus.
The SharePoint cool bus. Who thought it?
I heard rumours they were going to get a real one and drive it across the continental US.
That would have been cool.
But I don't know whether that's going to happen. So let's have a look at some of these modern experiences. So you're probably familiar with the SharePoint team site. They've been around since early doors.
Since the 90s.
Right? Yeah, since the 90s. So they've kind of still looked the same.
Yeah. Sure,
we've had new versions of SharePoint, you know, site settings has moved from the left to the right, to the left to the right, you know, we've had little changes, but never a wholesale revamp.
Yeah.
And SharePoint and OneDrive for Business are going for a really exciting full-scale revamp at the moment. They're moving into, as you can see, a really clean and crisp user experience, one that's mobile ready. So, you know, a lot of the customizations that used to go into SharePoint and SharePoint Online were to just make it render correctly on a device.
Yeah.
That all happens now. That's out the box.
So it's responsive out of the box.
Yeah, it's responsive out of the box. And, you know, we get some really neat little features in this document library. So this is the new document library experience. And, you know, we can click on an item, and metadata used to be quite
hard,
right?
Yeah, so it was in the early days of SharePoint, that was the big thing, try and get users to fill out their metadata, and you'd even have sort of corporate policies about getting users to do that stuff, and it was always a problem because users don't naturally do that kind of thing. So
it becomes a barrier, right?
Yeah,
because if you've got 20 fields that have been placed as required, you'll find a better way to share your document, probably as an attachment in an email,
exactly,
because it's like,
yeah,
I don't want to upload it and put in those huge amount of data. Now what we've got is a document library where, by selecting it, clicking the little eye, we get a panel on the right, and we can see the recent activity, we can see sharing, we can see...
So that recent activity, that's effectively coming through Delve again, is it?
Yeah, so Delve is underpinned by a thing known as Office Graph. And Office Graph is kind of the secret sauce underneath, because it's the thing that says, you and I are in the same team, we're working on the same document, there's a good relationship with us around that document, and therefore, you know, it trends and stuff. But it also, where it's sent, who views it, when it was last edited, where it sits, all of these signals go off into the Office Graph, you know, ether, and they come back as experiences like Delve, they come back as sharing experiences.
Cool.
And you can, as a developer, you can take advantage of those. You can call into Office Graph, you can get trending, you can get access to some of the kind of experiences that Delve sits on top of, to create your own kind of innovative extensions to SharePoint.
Okay.
So the edit experience that was always kind of hidden away, click through, is now kind of front and center. The other great thing is you can kind of pin documents. So we can get a document there and we can say pin to top.
Okay.
So, you know, that is something we've never been able to do before.
So it becomes like the primary document for that library.
Yeah, you can pick up to three, I think memory serves me, it's three items. You can have them, you can reorder them, but you can pick three items for that particular view. And these are view specific. So if you've got folders in there, you can have different pins
at
different levels. And it's just a way of highlighting some call out documents. So if you were looking at a proposal team site, you might have the actual proposal that's being worked on pins so that everyone's got an instant click to get through.
And I can see scenarios there. I'm working right now actually on a slide deck that a few people are contributing to. And the library's got the actual slide deck plus a load of supporting stuff and other slide decks that people have uploaded with kind of information on. So that would be great if you just pin the main one.
Yeah.
And the others are obviously then supporting documents. Then,
yeah, so absolutely. Cool. And they work really nicely because it's easy to do, so you can change it quickly. So if you're working on that document for a couple of days, you've got those pinned up at the top. The moment you're working on someone else and need some other pins, fine, drop them off the pin, repin the new documents, and it's kind of live and vibrant and gives you a reason to come in and do those things.
Okay.
We've got kind of another new experience in site contents. So site contents is kind of something that's existed for years. It's the index of the site, if you like.
Sure.
It's the place where you go, and in 2013 it was the kind of add an app experience.
Yeah.
It was like everything was an app, it was a little blue tile
and
you'd go there. Well, again, big modern overhaul for this experience. We've now got some analytics.
Okay.
So we can see how many times, obviously this is a demo environment, so the numbers are pretty low, but you've got views. So if you're the owner of the site, you can see how many times people are visiting. Yep. You've got trending content. So if we'd had lots of visits and lots of content, we can kind of get an insight into what's really the hub of the team site.
Yeah, sure.
And then it's got really nice little tip section of, you know, what you can do to kind of make that team site feel a bit more personal. So set the logo,
right.
You know, descriptions and stuff like that.
Everyone loves a logo.
Everyone does love a logo. Yeah, that big FT at the top would be where you'd put your logo for your little icon. And then that's pervasive across the Office 365 platform. Anytime that team site appears, you get the logo, with it. So it lists your contents. These are kind of, you know, bread and butter for SharePoint.
So it's still got the kind of, although it's got those extra features, it's still got the same function as site contents as
well. Yeah, I mean, there's been some changes. So as I mentioned, you know, Classic has been around for years, and lots of organizations put a substantial footprint of customization into a team site. Yeah. So they might have been doing like custom master pages, branding, making it look quite different to an out-the-box experience. With these new modern experiences, you kind of need to walk a lot of that back, because you need to say, well, that's no longer relevant in the modern way. That, you know, this isn't sort of...
I guess the cost of doing that stuff becomes a lot more,
because
there's so much in the product now around making it responsive, making it work on lots of devices. And if you're going to do those kind of customizations, you have to bear all of that in mind. You don't want to break SharePoint or break the experience by not fully implementing that stuff.
And they have, there was a little technique which was like JS Link, which was a way of modifying columns in the display, or adding, you know, people use JS Link to put a global navigation into a team site that was the same on lots of different sites.
Okay,
Some of those things are kind of in flux at the moment, because the modern experience doesn't necessarily support everything the old experience does.
Sure,
So Microsoft are quite clever. They quite rightly say, well, if you've done a lot of customization to your team site, you're not going to get to take advantage of these modern experiences.
Keep it as it is, basically,
Do no harm.
Yeah, sure.
Take advantage of the modern if you can, but keep Classic running in the way that it's been extended.
Sure.
So it kind of works quite nicely.
Okay.
Now, the final part of SharePoint Online is there's a new service that's in preview called Flow.
Okay.
And we're not going to have time to talk about Power Apps, but Power Apps and Flow are kind of two good experiences. Power Apps would be... kind of mobile ready sort of self-built application platform, I guess. It's it's, you know, quite hard to explain it succinctly, but it allows you to kind of a corporate user can go in, create a Power App that might expose some data from systems A and B and put them together in an experience, and it's kind of a forms technology, and obviously there's many different choices around forms technologies for SharePoint Online. Flow is a bit like, you ever seen that public service, the if this then that, the if t kind of service. So something happens, perform some logic, do something else. Flow is a great example from Microsoft about how to do something. It's similar. It's what I've got here is an example where if I add a list item to this list, it's going to send me an email. It's a fairly rudimentary example, but you know, how many times does somebody say, okay, if a file goes into this folder, notify the team?
Sure.
You know, the alert kind of thing.
Okay, so this is like the new version of alerts, basically.
It could be.
An evolution.
So with Flow, Flow sits on the top of the list, and we've got the option to create or see. And if you were to click in to see your flows on this list, we've got this flow I set up earlier, very Blue Peter.
I like the name. It's kind of like workflow, but a bit hipper.
I mean, there's still plenty of reasons to look at the enterprise grade workflow engines. So there's a number of product vendors out there that still add very good capabilities in workflow. Yeah. But if you're a business user who needs to just do something quite straightforward, you know, notifying, and then, you know, some action happens off the back of something else, then this is a great thing to kind of have a look at.
Okay.
So we've got a flow here. I stuck with the default name. So this flow basically says an item has been modified in that list that it's associated with, send an email. So when I created it, I give it the site URL, which is that team site. I picked the list name, and you know, you get some advanced options. So for those more technical people who understand REST, you can add filter queries and order buys and skips.
Okay, so that's using the OData query syntax.
So standard OData query syntax, you can ask for how many. Just to give you a bit more sort of options, so you might say, if you had a custom column that was the status, then it's like you only want to perform this action when status is ready to send. Then you could do that query.
Cool.
And then simply set up is, you know, send the email. You've got the subject there. You've got some placeholders of types of kind of, you know, like the merge of the data from the item into the email.
Okay.
In both subject and body. So that means if we go live demo time.
Okay, good. We love a live demo.
If I do page 3.
Have you done two tests before?
I've done two tests this morning already, so who knows? Both of them worked this morning, but you know. Sit the pants moment. So in about 60 seconds, what I should see is the little bell come up with a one. Yes.
Okay.
We've got it. Oh no, that's a different app.
Okay, well. So this is running in the background. Does it run on a scheduled basis then? Is it?
Yeah, it runs every. I think it's kind of between 30 and 60 seconds.
Right, okay.
It seems to be quite consistently fast.
Yeah.
It's not instantaneous, but it is, you know, for all intents and purposes, quick enough.
Quick enough. Yeah.
So there we go. Our email's arrived. Open it out, what we should see, just to prove no smoke and mirrors, is, you know, Tech Days 3 was modified to the time by me.
Very good.
Just update that. Yeah. So that's kind of flow. That's a new service. It's in preview at the moment. It's worth looking at for those scenarios. You know, get used to it. There's some advice the community have created around who should create flows. So they're kind of associated to the user that creates them. So if you're doing something that's more business critical, using a service account or a non user.
Yeah.
So you go into your 365 portal, create a service, and then use that account to create the flow and execute the flow. Because then, you know, should personnel change in the organization, the flow doesn't stop.
Sure. So think of it like a piece of content, really.
That
belongs. So that, I guess that's where, in those scenarios where you want to do something a bit more business critical, that's maybe where you start to go into the workflow and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, Okay, great. Cool. Flow looks pretty cool. Quite excited to try that out.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a whole bunch of other connectors as well, so you can kind of react to something on Twitter. I mean, we could have had today, we could have picked up the hashtag and thrown the items into the list.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's no filtering on that, so it's a bit risky in a live demo. But, you know, you could scrape a Twitter hashtag and get all of those tweets into a list to then let your marketing team see what was going on during an event.
I think that's risky. I did a demo the other day where I showed my live Facebook Messenger app to 600 people. And it was the actual live one. Fortunately, nothing went wrong. So thank you, friends and family, for that.
Well, Windows notifications is always one that catches me up, because there's always some Twitter bot or something signs up to you as soon as your Twitter handle is things that comes up and pings, and you're like, oh, no. Okay, so kind of the final thing I kind of want to spend a bit of time talking about is Outlook groups.
Okay.
And Outlook groups are, you know, really new. They've been around in Office 365 for sort of a good 12 months, but they're really gaining traction now because Microsoft are putting huge investments into this new collaboration space. And what I want to do is just basically show you some of the cool features within groups. So groups are, think of a group like a distribution list in Exchange.
Okay.
So so the membership is effectively the employees that are grouped together.
Yeah.
They're the members.
Okay.
The group itself gains a mailbox, gains a shared calendar, and those are kind of Outlook and Exchange things that we're all familiar with. So we can book a meeting, we can converse across a DL style conversation.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
And then we've got the kind of files and team sites. You know, Microsoft last week, in fact, you know, another great example of why SharePoint's, you know, cool again is that, you know, groups has now got team sites.
Right.
So whereas you used to have kind of a team site over here and a group over there and never the two shall meet, now we've got team sites within groups.
Okay.
So you've got that group of people associated with your files and your content in the SharePoint team site as an experience.
Yeah.
And you get things like notebook, file management, and then finally, it's got connections to other services. So Microsoft have a, I guess lightweight is probably the wrong word, but they have an easier to use than project version of project management.
Okay.
You don't have to be a Gantt chart and a resource management expert to kind of get in and use Planner. Planner's more like a Kanban board with set tasks to do, set tasks being done, set tasks that are complete, and you drag them and drop them.
Great.
And it allows a team. So in the scenario you were talking about for working on that proposal, that presentation, you could have created a set of Planner tasks that said, okay, I need to, you know, do the backbone of the document, then I need to
somebody
do this.
Figure out the demo.
Demos, and you could allocate those tasks out, and you could actually watch that workflow going through the plan until the end, and you put deadlines on it, you can see the progress to date.
Yeah.
And it's something devs are quite familiar with, because we've all been using Visual Studio Online for years now, and that has Kanban boards of drag across.
Yeah.
We're ahead in our sprint, great, let's bring some more work in and complete that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same experience.
Let's call Planner.
Planner, yeah.
Planner,
so that's a service that's part of Office 365 as well. So what we're looking at is the conversations view of a group. So you get at groups through Outlook, and you can get that in the desktop client as well.
I was going to say, so you're using Outlook web client here, aren't
you?
But so it's the same experience through for any of the Outlook clients.
So, I mean, I personally like the web client, and I like the web client because all the new tech arrives there quickly and first.
Sure.
So, you know, it was the first place you could see the files in your OneDrive and see your files in your team sites and be able to select them as a link instead of download it, attach it kind of thing. So in a group, the conversation is equivalent to what used to be a sort of DL conversation where you'd say, okay, I want to send to that DL, that's the group of people I'm going to send the email to and send it across.
Okay.
Well, now we've got this really great conversation experience where we get what looks like an email, and you can see already that it's sort of saying I'm going to talk to the engineering team.
Okay.
Now, if I want to add somebody to that so I can find myself.
Okay, so you can add people that are outside the group as well.
Yeah, outside of the group.
Just like an email, I suppose,
So if you've got two groups, you know, taking it a little bit more complicated, if you've got two groups where they need to work together, so you've got maybe, for example, a legal group and the new business group, and they do a lot of work, right? Contracts, negotiations, those things. You could mention the legal group, and the message will effectively go to both places, and the interactions will show up in both places.
Right.
So that's really neat. So this is a good way for groups of people collaborating to work out loud.
Right.
Yeah, because there's nothing more frustrating than, you know, coming back from holiday and having an inbox of 600 emails where most of them are CCs.
Yeah.
You're not really sure what you should be actioning.
Yeah.
Whereas now you can come and look at your conversations, you can see the flow of what the team's been talking about, you can understand kind of the relevancy because people will still be talking about it if it's still relevant. And you can send that, and you can do the normal sort of things of attachments, files. You can do at mentions, which is a nice thing. So if I wanted to draw you into the conversation, if I at mentioned you during typing, it will add you to the to list.
Brilliant,
which is kind of neat.
Again, it's like drawing from what's already out there on the web and Twitter and all the Facebook and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's what people are used to using now.
Paradigms that kind of we do in our private life, if you like, are feeding their way into Office 365.
Yeah. Great.
As I said, it has a calendar experience. But the final part I wanted to talk about was connectors.
Okay.
So how many times have you kind of thought, well, what I really want to do is an integration to a system that's outside of this group? And Microsoft have kind of heard that. And they've done this great thing called connectors, which allows you to connect to a number of popular cloud services and hook them into the group.
Right.
So I've got one set up that I'll show in a second, but you can see here we've got Twitter, you know, messages coming in, incoming webhook. So we mentioned you know the extensibility, and we're going to talk a bit more about that later this morning.
Okay.
That's the place where you could say, okay, line of business system fires an event webhook. Yeah. I've hooked it together to this group, so the group know that something's happened. So for example, a manufacturing piece of equipment finishes the production run, could send out the webhook to notify the group that they're restocking or restarting. So let's have a look at the kind of output of a message. I just click in. So I've got an RSS feed set up to Channel 9. So I just went onto the Channel 9 site, grabbed the RSS feed. And once an hour, it will come through and show me the digest of all the new RSS items coming off that RSS feed. So that's just one example of a really lightweight kind of integration.
Okay, cool.
And that kind of concludes our our walkthrough of a day in the life.
Some really cool new stuff there, isn't it? Like stuff that I'd not heard of and really good stuff. Okay, thanks for that, Wes.
It's all right.
So, so we're going to take a break now. We're going to take a sort of 15-minute or so break. And next, we're back up again after this, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Wes is going to take us through Office add-ins in more detail.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Office add-ins and SharePoint add-ins and all the developer sort of space that, that surrounds Office and Office 365.
Okay, great. If anybody's got any questions, we're using Twitter to handle questions. So if you use the hashtag TechDays on Twitter, we've got a team of people that will answer those questions as best they can as we go through. So that goes on through that whole day. But for now, let's take a short break and we'll see you in 15 minutes.